From Lubbock to Laredo, El Paso to Houston, and Dallas to Brownsville, we're talking Texas with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, Representative Matt Krause has a bill down in the special session that, if passed, could give many of you a big property tax cut. It may be a one-time tax cut, but it could actually save you from some higher taxes in the future, too. I like it. We're going to talk about it for a moment. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing the best service in DOT, business, and personal drug and alcohol testing since 1995. AlliedCompliance.com. Big Biden's border mess stack. Quickly kind of becoming an Abbott mess, too, for those who are paying attention. We've got a lot in that stack, and we've got an anti-wimp update today, my friends, as well as much other news. Remember that all new members, join up now. If you're a new member, join the Listener Club during the month of October. You'll be in a drawing to win an author-signed copy of Cowboyhood, the newest book in the award-winning Wilder Good series from our friend S.J. Dahlstrom. You can listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your commute, your schedule. You can download a bunch of shows, listen to them all at one time while you're driving. Get the podcast of today's show at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan on this Friday. Texas Tech Athletics had a big announcement about Dusty Womble giving a whole bunch more money for a new football center to go with the practice field and all that stuff. More of this facilities somehow are going to make winners. I've never quite understood that. My experience in life across all things is that winning then brings facilities, but that's okay. I mean, private donation, great thing. Wonderful that Dusty Womble wants to help. And so they had a big announcement today over there, and I'm sure it's all over the Lubbock media tonight. Senator Cornyn helps make way for the $480 billion debt ceiling increase. That's right. Cornyn, who I told you has really fallen off our conservative train the last many years. I mean, he's still better than a Democrat by a long way, but he's not there with us anymore, folks. I mean, he wants to be the next leader of the Senate and take McConnell's place. He's expressed that this year. And that's insider Washington. That's it. Not a movement conservative at all. He and 10 other GOP senators caved. Well, here's how they put it at the Texan. With a gesture of falling on his sword, Senator John Cornyn cast his vote Thursday evening to end the filibuster on a bill to raise the debt ceiling by $480 billion, paving the way for Democrats to unanimously pass the measure. Cornyn, along with 10 other so-called Republicans in the Senate, ended the filibuster as the conclusion of weeks-long haggling over the debt ceiling between the GOP and Democratic leadership in the chamber. Last July, Senator McConnell told our Democratic colleagues that as long as you're going to continue to spend money in a purely partisan way, you're going to have to raise the debt ceiling on your own, said Cornyn in a press release. Of course, they waited until the very last moment to do it, end quote. Except then he goes along and helps him. And they didn't do it on their own. He joined with 10 others to do it. Cruz certainly didn't join that. Just typical. One of our Listener Club members had seen that too and sent out the list today. I got that. These are the Republican senators that voted with the Democrats to raise the debt ceiling. One of them is a Texas senator who needs to be replaced. And there's Cornyn's name on it. The Baker Hughes rotary rig count is out for this week from the oil and gas fields of this great North American continent. The rig count for the U.S. as a whole was up by 5. The rig count in Texas took a nice jump this week of 4. Net new rigs, 247. We were at 116 a year ago. 247 rigs drilling for oil or gas in the Lone Star State. The Permian, which part of is in eastern New Mexico, was up 3 total. But the Eagle Ford Shale was up 1. There were some, anyway, up 4. And the national total up 5 net this week in the Baker Hughes rotary rig count. Former police officer in Primera down in the Rio Grande Valley has been sentenced to federal prison for child porn. KVEO reports that the Primera police officer was sentenced by federal court 10 years and then 20 years in prison and 20 years supervised release. Joel Alex Sandate, he had installed hidden cameras to capture recordings of a female minor. He saved the recorded videos in various computer media, and the PD, another officer, discovered them and reported it to authorities. Great, didn't do that. Oh, we got to protect our own stuff. This guy pled guilty back in April. He's been sentenced now. Abilene man accused of uploading infant and child pornography to social media. This is beyond disgusting and depraved. Allegedly, John Dowdy was taken into custody. Allegedly, he did these things. The police say he admitted to following groups where child pornography was shared and admitted to sharing the videos and images with others. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation's helped the family of the fallen Cacho County Sheriff Deputy. Remember that situation in Eden when they were serving the warrant and Deputy Samuel Leonard was killed along with another Cacho County deputy serving a warrant in Eden. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation's paid off the mortgage of Deputy Leonard's home for his family. City of Odessa employees were injured while up inspecting a water tower. They found a problem, got in the tower, and got trapped inside yesterday. Four of them suffered minor injuries. Three had to be taken to the hospital, but simply for observation. Looks like they're okay, which is a good thing. This weekend, and you might even win a new Rolls Royce if you find me there. Hint, I will not be there. But my hometown of Floydada, they started all this Pumpkin Day stuff after I was gone from Floydada. My family, a lot of them still live there, but we don't grow pumpkins. A lot of our friends do. Our friend Tim Astor grows them. He has the big Astor pumpkin ranch. This is the big Pumpkin Days for the pumpkin capital of the USA in Floydada Saturday. It's a lot of fun, one of these big family fall events, and lots of people come. This year is going to be one of the bigger years they've had. And the pumpkin crop, I know some of them, including friends, lost them to hail earlier in the year, but the what came because of the cool weather and the rain, I mean, the pumpkin crop's incredible. They said in this story at KCBD Television in Lubbock, or Tim Astor was talking, and also they talked to Lindsay Powell family there. It's been good. It's just been tough to get they're still shipping semi-truckloads out. The demand is massive this year. Tim said labor, boxes, pallets, trucks, everything's been an issue, which is true. So the only thing that hasn't been an issue is how good the pumpkins are this year. It's the 34th annual Pumpkin Days over in Floydada. And, of course, some of the big news items that came out last evening after the show was that Elon Musk is making it official in a shareholder call that he's moving the headquarters of the Tesla vehicle company to Texas and to the Austin area. They don't know if it'll be, you know, some new campus or if he'll just build it. He's pretty efficient. He may just build it right out next to the new factory that they're building out there, which would make sense. And really, there's not much known about it. He didn't work with the locals on this for tax stuff or anything else. He had warned California he was going to move, mostly over these COVID shutdowns where they couldn't do business. And had some lawsuit stuff back and forth, and that's it. Just pulling up, moving like so many other companies have done. My friends, today in Texas history, sponsored by USA Investigations, providing professional witness interviews and statements, professional surveillance, security, much more. You can investigate for more at usainvestigations.net. Today in Texas history, in 1821, so decade and a half or so before the Revolution, at La Bahia, men under James Long surrendered to Mexican forces commanded by Colonel Ignacio Perez. Long's men had taken the city for four days earlier. Long was taken prisoner and sent to Mexico City, where he was killed by a guard about 6 months later. They were called the Filibusters. The Filibusters, that was the deal there in La Bahia. Also, in 1838, Navarro County, the Battle Creek Fight, known as the Surveyor's Fight, took place between a surveying party and American Indians. And look at Texas history, sponsored by USA Investigations, usainvestigations.net. We'll be back in a moment.
He gets so much in during the show, you can handle a short break. Pratt's back in a moment.
I've told you about my wonderful experience with Dr. Silvia Zuniga in dental care in Costa Rica. Not only was it among the most positive experiences and best dental work I've experienced, my trip to Costa Rica, one of the hottest tourist destinations on the planet, included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and even a private driver. And the entire bill, total spending, was less than half of the best quote I got at home, a quote that was for much less dental work than I obtained from Dr. Zuniga. A couple from Lubbock now knows what I mean. They wrote to say, we used your suggestion to go to Sylvia in Costa Rica. She was wonderful. Instead of $7,400, I spent $1,640, and not only for my dental work, but for my husband's too. It was a refreshing adventure, and she guided us in things to do. Thank you for letting listeners know. If you have big dental needs and challenges, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com.
Hey now, Robert Campbell with Campbell Containers out here on I-20 between Abilene and Clyde. Our yard is always open, so you can stop in and check out our inventory. Each container for sale has a little orange price tag on the door. I told my wife the other day we might make one into a little mother-in-law apartment, you know, that you can put out behind the house. I'm gonna call it the Contain Her.
Robert.
It locks from the outside.
Robert.
And now, a man who finds skulking youth in pullover hoodies far more menacing than citizens with pistols properly holstered in the open. It's firearm friendly Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you're with us for the Texas Hour on this Friday in the fall of the year of our Lord 2021. Many of you have some great high school football games to go to. Be safe when you're driving, particularly when you're driving back, and have fun. Be nice. Good weather most places you're going to be. It is time, my friends, for a Pratt on Texas anti-wimp update. The story comes to us out of Honest Austin. Woman arrested for South Austin home invasion gone wrong. What happened was actually, I think back in April, these apparently three folks, Tiffany Ruoff, Johan Bueno Delgado, and Joseph Matthews, allegedly engaged in a home invasion in South Austin on Boxcar Run off Stasny Lane with the intent to rob the homeowner. During the home invasion, Joseph Matthews, one of the three alleged home invaders, was shot by the homeowner. Homeowner's girlfriend called 911 and EMS took the would-be burglar to a hospital with life-threatening injuries from multiple gunshot wounds, so hit him multiple times. Matthews died in September, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, at a hospice in North Carolina, 5 months after the incident, which was the night of April 26th. At that point, Austin police sought capital murder warrants against the two surviving robbers under what? Well, the felony murder rule. That's right, in the Texas Penal Code. That's where you are, you were part of it, so you're guilty of murder just like you pulled a trigger. Now, this is the victim who defended himself, but that makes the other two guilty, and they're counting Matthews' death is Austin's 63rd homicide of the year, and the shooter won't be charged. He acted in self-defense. Quote, the homeowner was not charged in the shooting of Joseph Matthews. Of course, he was doing the right thing, defending life and limb, and so they all took off, left that guy there shot, and then he eventually died. Just an interesting anti-wimp update here, where the other home invaders, alleged, are now being charged for the death of their accomplice. All the better for Travis County, and all the better for Texas. Love all the listeners we have on the podcast. I'm just sorry you don't get to hear our great anti-wimp theme due to silly licensing rules for music. We use Big Iron from the great Marty Robbins. It was over in a minute. And anyway, it's a good theme song. You don't get to hear that on the podcast. Let's get to our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, you truckers and you small trucking companies and big trucking companies. Allied Compliance can keep you all up to date and proper and in compliance with the clearinghouse. You need to get with them, alliedcompliance.com. Representative Matt Krause out of Tarrant County they're circulating a piece to other members because property tax relief is on the call for, and not only was property tax relief looked at on the call for this third special session, distributing up the coronavirus giant federal payoff to everybody is in there, okay, the funds. So Here's the bill that Krauss has come up with. It's HB 148. Members are talking about it. I've been advised that a lot of members like this and would like to support it. They're just worried about, well, how do you continue on, as if it has to be a long-time thing, and it doesn't. A one-time tax deal for 1 year would be good enough. What's wrong with that? 1 or 2 years, whatever, and then whatever, and then it goes back. But here's the here's what it says. Relating to the effect of the receipt by a municipality or county of certain federal coronavirus relief money on the computation of certain ad valorem tax rates, so property tax rates, and the procedure for adoption of a tax rate by the municipality or county. Summary, allocates municipal and county funds from the Coronavirus Local Fiscal Recovery Fund, the so-called American Rescue Plan, to provide property tax relief. All right, so one, HB 148 reduces property taxes in Texas for the 2022-23 year. It treats the stimulus funds as if they were money raised from property taxes during that span. It used the following formula to calculate tax cuts for various cities and counties. The 2021-22 federal coronavirus relief money, and I think divide current total value and new property tax value, new property value. Cities and counties already receive millions, and in some cases, billions from the CARES Act of 2020. Texas has already has some of the nation's highest property taxes. Without the stimulus money going to buying down property taxes, cities and counties could, oh, they are, using the funds for projects that will ultimately increase future property taxes. Number three in Krauss's handout, HB 148 provides the opportunity for significant tax cuts to Texans across the state, including the following estimates based on 2019 data. Abilene, almost a 41% tax break. Corpus Christi, almost 48%. Houston, 43%. McAllen, 81.5%. Texarkana, 50.5%. Austin, 25%. Dallas, 32%. Killeen, 50%, almost 60%. Midland, 43.5%. Tyler, almost 86%. Beaumont, 60.7%, El Paso, 46%, Longview, 50%, Odessa, 42%, Victoria, 53%, College Station, 55%, Fort Worth, 30%, Lubbock, 53%, San Antonio, 48%, Wichita Falls, 68.3%. That's the estimate, just using 2019 data, as to how much of a tax cut you could get for 1 year if they pass this bill to distribute the coronavirus slush fund to these cities and treat it as if it were property tax money raised in those cities for 1 year. In other words, it just goes to pay the regular taxes that would have been paid, and you don't get it. It's sort of like you getting the money back, you getting the money, instead of handing it to all the bureaucrats out there to use to spend it. Let me tell you, all of these places, I mean, this so-called bailout's no bailout. It's a slush fund. I mean, it's massive amounts more money than any of these organizations lost in revenue due to the coronavirus stuff or having to do testing or anything like that. And they've got long lists. I've already heard rumors from people in my city, long lists behind the scenes of things they want to hand this money to. I mean, look at Lubbock County. It did an emergency grant, by the way, Representative Corley voted against that for very good reason, without looking at the books, without doing an audit or anything to a so-called homeless charity. Here's the problem. We don't know whether they gave them $1 million, which was, I think, well over 100 grand, more than their regular annual budget. And the county judge, Curtis Parrish, there's, oh, it's an emergency. We got to do this. Taxpayer just handed the money out to somebody. Did the public know that that guy and Curtis Parrish, the county judge, are big buddies, that this is sort of a big interest of his and they're big buddies? Commissioner Corley in Lubbock County voted against that. But that's the point. This money's going to go out to everybody's friend and buddy and pet, their wife's pet project, you name it. I like Krauss's bill, HB 148. You might tell your state rep you want it supported. Back in a moment.
It's time for Pratt to breathe. Pratt on Texas returns in a moment.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com, H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Listeners know that Isabel and I beef up at Raider Red Meats. We love their hamburger patties, sausage, steaks, brisket, even pre-smoked and sliced brisket ready to heat and eat, and their spicy barbecue sauce has become our favorite. Raider Red Meats provides the best tasting, best quality beef, pork, and lamb. You can keep up with great specials and sales through Raider Red Meats Facebook page too. Learn more at RaiderRedMeats.com or visit their Texas Tech campus store in Lubbock, where we shop.
Now here's a man that carries his own traveling soapbox. Pratt on Texas continues.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. There was a big piece posted in the Dallas Morning News by Robert Garrett. Lawmakers want change in higher ed funding tilted toward UT and A&M. And what this is it's Senator Perry of Lubbock, and they talked to Representative Burroughs, and it's sort of wrapped up around a very old issue. You know, we even created that separate research fund to try to help level the playing field for research universities in Texas. But, of course, it's also wound up in the athletics and University of Texas leaving the Big 12, and A&M's already done it. And this affects everything because a lot of these conferences now require or want any members to be this members of the AAU, these big, huge, well-funded universities. Well, Texas has three. And only one of them's private, Rice. The other two are UT and A&M because they get it through the PUF fund money, the Permanent University Fund that nobody else gets. And this is a real problem. Now, this is one of the best in-depth pieces where all the pieces of the puzzle are finally coming together. It discusses in the story, a piece of legislation that they're going to try to take some maybe stimulus money or something and create a $2 billion endowment for tech and University of Houston system and stuff like that. But, you know, that's all window dressing. It's never going to do anything until we just change the PUF fund and it needs to go to all the systems in the state. I know a lot of people want it, just two or three. Nah, come on. But I'll tell you one thing that's made very clear in here. It's not very much in Texas favor that we only, because of this avarice to keep that fund only going to A&M in Texas, that we only have two public of these universities, the research, the massive ones, the AAU members. New York has six. California has 10. Iowa has as many public universities in the AAU as Texas does, and they have 1/7 of Texas population. And like they said, it's not just the research and having premier higher education. Like they say, a Big Ten requires a new member to be in the AAU, and the Pac-12 strongly prefers it. And this is a guy from Rice talking. That just adds insult to injury for Texas Tech and University of Houston. Not only does the lack of resources allow UT to leave them behind, but then their two best options to move to a now Power Four conference are thwarted by the fact that they aren't AAU institutions. And all of this is because of the money. And there's some great quotes in here from Senator Perry and from Dustin Burroughs. There's some stuff about House Appropriations Chairman Greg Bonin trying to create this little separate endowment right now, which, I mean, who would turn it down, but it's not the right way to fix this. It's just time to get, we went through all this stuff before to create that new research fund. And Tech, I think, was the first to get into it as a tier one by its measurement, but it just sat there as a small fund. It's never going to be nobody thought the PUF fund would be as big as it is. And all the money goes to the campus buildings in Austin and in Aggieland and College Station. I think that money goes to just to the physical resources or something like that, if I remember right. Anyway, a lot of things are coming together to maybe move the state but I just don't think there's enough. I still don't think there's enough pull, unless you had a, you know. By the way, AAU is American Association of Universities, and it's big leading research universities. Really, what has to be done is the PUF fund. If we're going to have state university systems, and we've pretty well gotten rid of almost all. I mean, now with MSU going to the Texas Tech system, they're just not much of any kind of public independent system anymore. I mean, you know, very couple small systems. But if we're going to have these systems, every one of them ought to get their share based on whatever formula is right for the PUF money. That's it. The days of it just being two land-grant universities, you know, UT and A&M, and they get all the money, that's just crazy. But there's so many powerful people that have graduated from those institutions that don't care about, it's all about that football stadium or, I don't know, prestige or pride. It's dumb. It's not in the long-term interest of the state. Maybe because it's now affecting the football they like so much that you'll get enough other people together to put up some real opposition to this stuff. In the fourth bid to pass the transgender sports bill to protect girls' sports in Texas, lawmakers heard fierce opposition, said the Statesman earlier in the week. And I find it interesting to listen to all of this stuff because they keep saying it targets transgender. Nobody ever talks about how actually it's the LGBT lobby targeting girls. You know, that's why we had Title IX, had all these laws to make it where girls had sports that got funded at a regular amount and were, you know, fair and everything else. All they're trying to do is destroy it. And all you hear in the media stories is all these sob stories of people with a little boy who thinks he's a girl or a little girl who she thinks she's a boy and they're going to go compete. No, this is targeting them. You know, the whole world's got to change for them. But they don't talk much about the other stuff. You know, two female athletes did go on Fox News, and the Post-Millennial reported on it earlier this week. And they talked about the negative effect of female athletes that they're experiencing competing against biological males who say they're transgender. Selena Soule and Alana Smith said competing against the males who identify as, you know, females is demoralizing and makes them feel helpless. We're just racing for second and third place. It's because there are biological differences, despite what the old 70s feminists tried to tell everybody. And it's terrible. Selena Soule sued her state, along with Smith, said being forced against compete against biological men all 4 years of high school deprived her from competing in the regional New England Scholastic Athletics Championship. I lost out on countless opportunities. I've had to compete against these athletes over a dozen times. Every single time I lost without fail. It's because they're men. With the muscle mass and body mass of men. And these people just, the state press just absolutely full of this BS about it's targeting transgender. First of all, there's very few of these people. So then why do you need the bill, Pratt? Well, if there's so few, then why do you care if we pass the bill? Let's go back to that. It's not really going to bother that many people. This idea that when you decide to be outside of the norm, you should be, in other words, you want to drive 110 miles an hour. Maybe you got a car that's safe to, you know, if you have driver skill, that actually can reasonably safely go 100 miles an hour. Does that mean that everybody else on the freeway driving every other kind of vehicle should have to actually exit and stay off the freeway so you can go 100 and something miles an hour? That's the selfishness of all of this. Well, because I have this unique situation, whether it's BS or real or whatever is beside the point. In our household, the rest of the world should just should give up everything and conform, and all other girls shouldn't worry about it. Oh, and you people are crazy if you're worried about the locker room experience, you know, for the chick that decides she's a boy and going to play on the football team. And I'm not talking about the girl that plays football as separate. I'm talking about wants to shower and change with the guys. I mean, this is the point of all of this. It's all anti-God. It's simply another attack on God's order and design for humanity. But I'm glad that Republicans so far, for the most part, seem to be standing up. And this bill finally got out of the House, not out of the Education Committee, but got out of that Select Committee this week. We'll see what happens to it. By the way, there was a really good piece at Issues and Insights taking apart a Wallet Hub survey, and then they went and did their own investigation to confirm the numbers. Liberal states flunked the education equity test. Isn't that right? It's all these liberal states talking about equity, equity. Of the 10 states with the least equitable school districts, 7 are solidly blue: New York, California, Illinois, Oregon, Maine, New Jersey, and New Mexico. Of the 10 with the best school equity scores, all but one, Minnesota, are Republican-leaning states. No kidding. It's a very interesting piece at issuesinsights.com if you want to take a look. Back in a moment with news from the border.
More Texas political and news analysis without a management muzzle in a moment.
Pratt on Texas Listener Club member Tom from Wichita Falls wrote, "I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable. From the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns are not fun, this was the way to do it," Tom says. Thank you for recommending Dr. Zuniga in Costa Rica. I certainly will be referring friends and family. Friends, you can learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dento Care, my dentist, by the way, by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Go to prattontexas.com. You'll see the banner with Dr. Zuniga's beautiful picture. Click on it, and you can read all about it. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Mr. Johnson, where have you put the Thomas Smith and Turner files? What a mess! You have files everywhere!
Okay, I'm sure your office is not this bad. But let me tell you how Jamali Media can help with any office file situation. Three words: Secure Client Portal organizes all your files for each client. You can privately and securely send and receive files and also communicate with your clients. Let us customize a secure portal for you. Jamali Media, JEMULLY.com. Jamali.
He's back and ready for more. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Let's dive into the border stack in this last segment of the Texas Hour on Pratt on Texas. There is another big, major piece, this time in the Houston Chronicle, headline: Chaotic rollout of Governor Abbott's migrant arrest plan fuels claims of violated rights. They're not just claims, it's a fact. And I've been critical last week or so, pointing out that This has been bad. I mean, this chest thumping without proper planning has actually backfired. What was it they were saying, that Abbott's got his own catch and release? It was supposed to be catch and arrest, he said, and now it's catch and release. This is a major piece. I could spend a full hour on it. I'm going to set it aside, and maybe if the things in the news come together in the right way in the next week or two, we will actually do more than just cursory discussion of the issue. Maybe I'll get somebody on. We'll have a long-form interview in the podcast. More headlines from Biden's border mess. This is from Breitbart. Texas cartel gunman arrested in Texas after a shootout with the Mexican army. Two gunmen from the cartel illegally entered Texas after fleeing from a shootout with Mexican authorities. Local police arrested the men as they tried to hide with a bunch of illegal aliens who had also, standing by, who had illegally crossed the Rio Grande. This took place this week in La Jolla, or along U.S. Highway 83. La Jolla police say the men were part of the Spartans cell of the Matamoros faction of the Gulf Cartel. They were in a recent shootout with Mexican military forces where 17 cartel members began the eternal dirt nap. The two gunmen managed to survive and fled toward Reynosa. Once there, the men paid to be crossed into Texas. Arrest of deported sex offenders and criminal aliens up 300% along the border. Bob Price reporting at Breitbart, Texas. Arrest of criminal migrants who illegally reentered the U.S. jumped from 2,438. I want you to think about how many people that is versus how many people are actually in prisons. I mean, that's a massive number of people. That was in FY 2020. Went from 2,438 to 9,000. Remember, these are just the ones caught, to 9,728 through the end of August this year. So we still don't have September data, the last month of the federal fiscal year. It's nearly 300% increase for September numbers still unreported. Of those arrested, 448 had convictions for sex offenses, up from 156 for all of last fiscal year. Additionally, agents apprehended 1,769 migrants with outstanding warrants for their arrest. That's an addition. Armed cartel thugs taunt Texas National Guard at Rio Grande. One of our Odessa listeners, Eric, sent this from News Wars. And it's the same stuff we've been looking at in Fox reporting and some of the other reporting, including where I told you it almost appeared down in Roma that the National Guard here was actually helping these people be smuggled in. But Fox News correspondent Bill Malugan, who's been down there, DPS provided him images of men wearing body armor and carrying rifles standing in battle-ready positions on the Mexican side of the river. In multiple instances over the past several days, Texas DPS tells me suspected cartel gunmen involved in human smuggling have stood in and near the Rio Grande in Starr County and taunted Texas National Guard soldiers. They wear attack vests and have AK-47s, Malugan wrote on social media this week. He had to end a video report when gunfire erupted near him. National Border Patrol Council President Brandon Judd was asked to address the photos on Fox and Friends yesterday morning. He said the images are disturbing, and I hope they disturb the viewers at home, but to law enforcement like myself, it's not surprising. My agents and I understand that these cartels are in it for a profit. They understand exactly what's going on with the politics here in the U.S. Border County asks Abbott to deploy Texas military to repel illegal crossings. Once again, by the way, let me skip over John Moritz, who writes pretty good stuff for the USA Today Network. Most of your papers are in that. Abbott sent a message to Biden in South Texas, but it was also aimed at his 2022 rivals. This is one of the most vapid pieces I've ever seen John put together. It's as if he doesn't even understand what's going on. Oh, yeah, he had the 9 governors there, and they stood up. But boy, this was a big message to Beto O'Rourke. Look, I'm the tough on the border. I'm going to hang it around your neck. And then this is also a message to Alan West and Huffins. What message, John? Did you miss it all? Abbott went down there. It's an utter embarrassment. He and the governor's plan wasn't a plan. They said they're not going to sit around and do nothing, and yet they presented no plan whatsoever. That's not a joke. As I said yesterday, go read it. It's just a list of, I think, 10 things saying reverse the policy and go back to Trump policy. What plan is that? A plan is the governors are going to do it because here's what we're going to do because the feds aren't doing anything and won't do anything. John Moritz just really missed that whole thing. Because as I told you, if anybody's sharp at all, that plan and those governors with Abbott there can be very well used against Governor Abbott in a primary. Because it's a do-not. It's doublespeak. It's like Cornyn and them always talking, oh, we're not for spending. And then, of course, they do. So there was a piece by Robert Montoya at Texas Scorecard. On the same day Governor Abbott asked Biden-Harris administration to secure the open border with Mexico, Kinney County Judge Tully Sheehan asked the governor to use his authority to stop the border crossings. In a declaration of disaster filed Wednesday, Judge Sheehan asked Abbott to immediately deploy 2,000 state military personnel and state military air assets to his county, Kinney County, to repel an invasion and protect the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Texas. In other words, most of the arrests under Abbott's plan have come from that county already, in one or two other counties. Some counties aren't even cooperating, big counties. But Kinney County is still overwhelmed. They feel like Abbott's not doing anything. He said he implored Abbott to act under the Texas and U.S. Constitution. Kinney County's had enough of Biden's open borders policies. Texans are done waiting for someone else to fix our border. Kinney County Attorney Brent Smith told Texas Scorecard, it's time for Texans to stand together and solve this crisis ourselves. Well, wait a minute, I thought the governor did. I thought he started the Operation Lone Star. I thought he deployed the guard. Yeah, What a tiny percent of the guard. Hey, that's what I'm telling you, folks. The problem's there, and these people like Abbott. They're on board with the program. They're cooperating in every way. But if you listen, what they're saying is, okay, we're arresting some people, and yeah, it's overwhelmed our little county courthouse to handle the cases, and then we've had to let hundreds of them go by Abbott's own catch and release because there wasn't any planning for this deal. But the fact is, nothing's being done to actually stop the flow over the border. When is this going to move toward deploying physical force from the state of Texas to you see the guard in those videos around Roma assisting the illegal immigrants get out of the river and carrying them, rounding them up, marching them over and getting them in a nice safe place in Texas where they're here now. They're going to be catch and released by the Biden administration. What happened to pushing them back in the river? What happened to forming a human chain and seeing you not coming through? What happened to, you know, guard soldiers holding up maybe fence of their own or so, and actually not letting them enter the country illegally? I'm telling you, as much as I like the fact that Abbott all of a sudden got real interested in this after the legislative session when the headlines got big, they're not doing anything. We can believe that we're doing something as a state. I mean, you know, the arresting people, that's already blowing up and getting really bad because there's a lot of evidence that some of these are trumped up charges. There's serious allegations from serious people that people were marched, you know, down a road onto private property so that they could by the officials so they could then be arrested and charged with trespassing. Then we get them in there. We can't even charge them under our own laws, and we're having to let people go. Again, Abbott's own catch and release program because he didn't plan. It was all chest thumping. There's video up at Breitbart in Roma right now. Migrants stream into South Texas border town at night. You can sit and watch it. It's just a stream of humanity. When are we going to actually do something besides press conferences and little ticky-tack things here and there to make it look like something? Huh, Abbott? Tell us. That's it for this week. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.